Remember that question that we had on the screen a few moments ago? Well, it's not really a question, but I'm sure it's a question in all of our minds, isn't it? The war to end all wars. That's how that war was described. The First World War that we're thinking about 100 years ago today, it came to an end. And it was described then as the war to end all wars. The war to end all wars. I wonder if you know how many wars have been since that war to end all wars. I wonder if you know how many wars have taken place. Yeah, wow. 232 wars, according to Wikipedia. Conflicts and things that have been classed as war have taken place since the war to end all wars. And you might be forgiven, like me, for thinking, well, where does it all end? What has gone wrong? The war to end all wars didn't end all wars. And you know, people have asked that question all through the years, and they've wrestled with it. And you can go way, way back in time, and you can still find people asking that question. Why do we have wars? In fact, if you go right back to just after the time of Jesus, you will discover that somebody had written a letter that we studied here in church some months ago. Somebody who wrote a letter, and I'm going to be using the Message Bible. His name was James. And in chapter 4 of James, verse 1, you'll find that James had a very, very similar question. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. And it starts with that question that I've certainly got on my mind. He puts it like this. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Where do you think these appalling wars and quarrels come from? And that was something that played on James's mind, even all those hundreds and hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, before certainly the First World War, before all the wars that went before it, other wars that if you study history you might know about, the Wars of the Roses, the Civil War, American War of Independence. You could list them better than me. But Jesus came to deal with that. And James is interested in exploring that. He says, where do you think all these wars come from? Do you think they just happen? Do you think they just happen for no obvious reason? Well, James does have an answer. And we're going to have a look at his answer today. But I have to give you a health warning. It's not a comfortable answer. It's not an answer that will leave us sitting easy and comfy in our seats. Let's hear what James has to say. He goes on and he says this. Think again. These wars come about because you want... Hey, hang on. You, me, you want your own way and you fight for it deep inside yourselves. Now, surely wars about soldiers and other people in other countries. And James is saying... You want your own way? Surely that's not me. Or maybe it is. Maybe there are times when I see something and I say, I want it. What do we want? I want it. When do we want it? Now! Well, that starts me looking inside myself, not at all these other people. Well, James doesn't stop there, you know. He doesn't just leave it at that. He goes on and he says this in the next verse. He says, you lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours. That word lust is a horrible word. It even sounds horrible. And it has a particular meaning nowadays. But the word lust actually means wanting, so that I must have it. I really must have that. And I'm willing to fight for it. That's not me, surely, is it? Is it? When I look into my mind, when I look into my heart, are there things in there that I think, wow, I really want that. You know, I really want that. And I'm willing to do just about anything to get it. I really want that. James is still talking to me. And he's still talking to you. You want what you don't have. You want what isn't yours. And you know, he doesn't leave it there either. He goes on and goes even further and he says, You want what isn't yours, and you will risk violence to get your hands on it. Well, no, I wouldn't do that. That's not me, surely, is it? I wouldn't ever risk violence. Sometimes that violence bubbles up. And you know, when that person in the Sainsbury's car park parks their car right in front of where I'm trying to go, well, they just pop out to the cash point, and I have to sit there waiting. That violence bubbles up in my heart as well. I don't actually do anything about it, usually because I've got my wife beside me. I don't actually do anything about it. But you know the feeling, don't you? You know the anger. You know the feeling, how anger and violence bubbles up inside us. We're willing to risk violence to get our hands on the things we don't want. And just multiply that up a few hundred, a few thousand times, and have a look at the world we live in and ask yourself, I want it. I've got to have it. I will take it. Does that not describe so much of what goes on in the world? And James is saying, do you know, folks, where does war start? It starts in my heart. But fortunately, James doesn't leave it there, because James knew Jesus, and James knew that Jesus had come to do something about it. And so he goes on and he unpacks it a little bit more in the next verse. And he gives some advice, and here's some secrets for you and me to take away with us. The first thing James says is, if you want something, why wouldn't you just ask God for it? Why wouldn't you ask God for the things that you want? Now that's an interesting question, isn't it? If I want a new car, or if I want a new computer, or if I want an iPad Pro that's just about to come out, or if I want a new phone or whatever, all those things that I want, you know, why don't I just pray to God for them? Why don't I just bring it to God? Well, James says, actually, no, you've got to pause before you do that. Before you launch into asking God about these things, you have to learn something about God. And you need to learn this. You need to learn to be asking for the things that God wants. You need to learn to want what God wants. Then you can ask, and you know that God will give it to you, because if it's something that He wants for you, then that's great. You see, God wants us to bring our wants and our desires in line with His. James goes a little bit further, and he actually must have been listening to some of my prayers, because he talks about this. He says, why do you not ask God for it? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. I'd be asking for things that were making me selfish. For me. How often do our prayers reflect what we want rather than what God wants? How often are our prayers selfish prayers rather than loving prayers? James says, learn this. Learn to love what God loves. Because then you'll be praying for what God wants. And then God will answer your prayers. Learn to love what God loves. And he still doesn't drop it, you know, James. He goes on. He goes on a little bit more. And he says this. He says, you're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. Now that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because, of course, who knows best what I need and what I want is me. Who knows best what I should have but me? Surely. My way is best. It's always best my way, isn't it? Because I think I know what's best for me all of the time. Even if I do behave like a spoiled brat sometimes when I don't get it. But actually James goes a bit further and he says, no. Make a comparison between what you think you know and actually what God knows. Because God knows what is good. And our job as His followers is to learn to enjoy what God knows is good. Not just to get stuck up on the things that I think are good for me. Learn to know what God knows is good. Now there's a challenge for us all. Things for us to remember on this Remembrance Sunday. Because James says, actually, you know, people, the seeds of war start inside each one of us. And yes, there are political issues, there are all sorts of problems in the world that seem only to be solved by fighting about it. But James says, no, If you could find out what God wants for you, if you could learn to love what God loves, and if you could learn to enjoy what God knows is good for you, then your life will be different. And that will affect the lives of people around you. And you will actually start to be a peacemaker. You will actually start to see the end of the wars and the quarrels and the anguish and the anger that spoils our world. And we're thinking this morning about one of those wars. But wouldn't it be great if, going on from here, we could allow the words that James has just laid before us to touch our hearts to the point where we become Jesus' peacemakers.